All right, welcome to October 14th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is because I'm a proud patriotic American, and hopefully you're listening because you are also a proud patriotic American. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, and go from there. Now, let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen, brothers and sisters. And now moving on to today's headlines. We'll wish a happy birthday to Dwight Eisenhower. President Bush calls out Al-Qaeda for the Bali bombings. Keeping up with the Kardashians premieres. Plus, since it is that time of year, the Amityville trials begin. All right, so now here I go. 1890. Happy birthday, Dwight D. Eisenhower. According to WhiteHouse.gov, bringing into the presidency his prestige as commanding general of the victorious forces in Europe during World War II, Dwight D. Eisenhower obtained a truce in Korea and worked incessantly during his two terms to ease the tensions of the Cold War. Born in Texas in 1890, brought up in Abilene, Kansas, Eisenhower was the third of seven sons. He excelled in sports in high school and received an appointment to West Point. Stationed in Texas as a second lieutenant, he met Mamie Geneva Dowd, whom he married in 1916. In his early American career, he commanded the Allied forces landing in North Africa in November 1942. On D-Day, 1944, he was supreme commander of the troops invading France. After the war, he became president of Columbia University, then took leave to assume supreme command over the new NATO forces being assembled in 1951. Republican emissaries to his headquarters near Paris persuaded him to run for president in 1952. I like Ike was an irresistible slogan. Eisenhower won a sweeping victory. Negotiating from military strength, he tried to reduce the restraints of the Cold War. In 1953, the signing of a truce brought an armed peace along the border of South Korea. The death of Stalin that same year caused shifts in relations with Russia. New Russian leaders consented to a peace treaty neutralizing Austria. Meanwhile, both Russia and the United States had developed hydrogen bombs. With the threat of such destructive force hanging over the world, Eisenhower, with the leaders of the British, French, and Russian governments, met at Geneva in July 1955. The president proposed that the United States and Russia exchange blueprints of each other's military establishments and, quote, provide within our country's facilities for aerial photography to the other country, unquote. The Russians greeted the proposal with silence, but were so cordial throughout the meeting that tensions relaxed. In November, he was elected for his second term. In domestic policy, the president pursued a middle course, continuing most of the New Deal and Fair Deal programs, emphasizing a balanced budget. As desegregation of schools began, he sent troops to Little Rock, Arkansas to assure compliance with the orders of the federal court. He also ordered the complete desegregation of the armed forces. Before he left office in January 1961 for his farm in Gettysburg, he urged the necessity of maintaining an adequate military strength, but cautioned that vast, long-continued military expenditures could breed potential dangers to our way of life. He concluded with a prayer for peace and the goodness of time. Both themes remained timely and urgent when he died after a long illness on March 28, 1969. Happy birthday, Ike! President Bush blames Al-Qaeda for the Bali bombings. 202 people, including 7 Americans, were killed on Holiday Island in Indonesia when a van fully loaded with TNT blew up in a popular tourist area. The bloodbath continued as hospitals and ambulances couldn't keep up with the hundreds of others who were injured. The violent group Jemaah Islamiyah, the Southeast Asian faction of Al-Qaeda, claimed responsibility. Meanwhile, here in America, President George W. Bush pointed out that these attacks were similar to al-Qaeda attacks in Kuwait and Yemen, which showed that al-Qaeda was on the rise and continued to be a threat to the United States. He told reporters on the South Lawn of the White House, quote, "I'm concerned about our homeland. Obviously, if I knew a specific piece of intelligence that would indicate a moment or place in which the enemy would attack, we'd do a lot about it," unquote. These days, the site is a virtual sanctuary. 10 years after the bombings, Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono stated justice has been done. The bombing set off a series of critical chain reactions. Indonesia developed a highly skilled and dedicated police anti-terror unit, and an international campaign was launched to restore the image of Indonesia as a peaceful tourist destination. 2007, Keeping Up with the Kardashians premieres. The whole clan's there: Kris, Kourtney, Caitlyn, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, Kylie, and Rob. Kim, by the way, would turn out to be the highest paid reality star in the history of TV in 2015, taking $51 million. 40% of that supposedly coming from her video game, Kim Kardashian Hollywood, which made over 71 mil. And because it's just not a US history show, if I don't bring up Kim Kardashian's butt, how big is it? When she was born, her doctor said, "Congratulations, twins." It's so big that they still can't find the last chair she sat on. Kim's butt is so big, she put on some BVDs, and by the time they reached her waist, they spelled out Boulevard. Kim Kardashian's butt is so big, she sat on a rainbow and made Skittles. When her beeper goes off, people think she's backing up. And yes, she has to iron her pants in the driveway. (clears throat) 1975, trials begin for Amityville murders. In 1974, Ronald DeFeo shot and killed his parents and four brothers and sisters, all somehow in their sleep. Neighbors, for some reason, didn't hear gunshots, even though DeFeo didn't use a silencer. Interesting. Later, the Lutz family bought the house, moved in, saw ghosts, and scrammed. The story of the Amityville Horror was written based on these events, and a successful movie adaptation was released. Turns out, George Lutz was on heroin, and when you do heroin, you tend to see ghosts that aren't there. Drugs is bad and gay.
And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for October 14th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For example, Eisenhower. Is there anything that I missed on that story? Or did I pretty much cover it all? By the way, folks, I encourage you to fact-check me. If I say something that seems off to you, let me know, please. Or what about the Amityville Horror? Have you ever seen that movie? Any of them? I don't get scared easily by movies. I get scared easily by politics. And quite frankly, the only thing that scares me about the Amityville Horror movies is how much heroin George Lutz was probably on. But yeah, let me know what you think. And while you're at the website, you can take a gander at some of the multiple choice quizzes. I've got a wide variety of topics for you. So good luck with those. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about the Vietnam draft card burning, the San Francisco Cliff House, Clarence Thomas, and Quasars. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is at JDUSHL. Stands for Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. So thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you then.